Why, I'm glad you've come back. Last session, I kind of got carried away and did a lot of preaching. And you know, I've designed these sermon summaries to be about 12 minutes. But like you as a lay preacher who get carried away, I have to admit that I got carried away. I was so excited about that last topic. So I hope you'll bear with me as we go on. Our topic this time is by chance or design. Now, you remember the first three sermons are on the second coming of Christ. We opened with a sermon on Daniel 2. We followed with one on Matthew 24, the signs of his coming. And then last time we did the great escape, the manner of his coming. This particular message is called by chance or design. It's actually on creation. The purpose of this sermon is to reveal God as a loving creator and an all-powerful creator. It does not introduce the Sabbath truth, but it does provide the setting. Many people have little concept of who God is, and we're living in an age of evolution. The sermon begins with a marvelous illustration. The illustration goes something like this. You're vacationing at the beach, and you stop at a gift shop. You pick up one item that you really, really admire, and you say, "Who made it? This looks beautiful. It's handcrafted, delicately done. It's absolutely magnificent. Who made this?" And the person, the owner of the gift shop, says, "Well, nobody made it. We just had an explosion a while back, and it all came forward. All of the design came forward just like this." Well, would you accept that? What if you were walking down the street and yawning one day, and as you were yawning, a Rolex watch came flying through the air and got on your wrist? And you said, "Where did it come from?" "Oh, there was an explosion in some factory. Springs came together and numbers came together and all this, and the Rolex just flew." Not at all. But yet, there are many people that believe that this world evolved, although it has a much more complex design than any watch or any gift in a gift shop. The purpose of this sermon is to reveal to your audience that God has made this world and that it's created complexly in His image. There is quite an amazing illustration about Napoleon at the bottom of page one. It's a story that I love to tell about Napoleon. Napoleon and his army were on their way across the Mediterranean Sea. They were going to conquer the Egyptians. It was a starlit night, and Napoleon, as his manner was pacing back and forth across the deck. You'll find this, and you'll see a picture of the boat in slide number 10. And as Napoleon was pacing across the deck, he heard his soldiers talking about the fact, if they were arguing, about whether there was a God and whether there wasn't a God. And Napoleon simply, as he was on that deck, and it was a beautiful night, the stars were twinkling in the heavens, and Napoleon looked up and he said to his soldiers, "I just have one question. Who made those stars and who sustains those stars?" Their mouths were stopped. They had been talking about the existence of God and what evidence was there for God's existence. But all the time, the stars, so majestically placed in the heavens, were shining down upon them. And Napoleon said, "Gentlemen, who made the stars?" And he went down and went to sleep. They were left to ponder that question. Now, that is a good question. Now, at this point in the sermon, we go through amazing information showing the evidence of design in the universe, pointing out that once there is where there is a design, there must be a designer. We talk about this God who's a master designer on page 4. And we come again to what I call the pivotal text. In every sermon, after we get through the introduction, there is a pivotal text. And this pivotal text is found in Psalm 139, verse 14. After we've talked about the God in the universe, after we've talked about this God who created the heavens and the earth, we now focus not only on the God of the cosmos, the God of the infinite, but we make a transition and we begin talking about what happens in the human body, the intricate design of the human body. It's on page 4. Psalm 139, verse 14 is the pivotal text. David says, do you have Psalm 139, verse 14? What is it? David says what? "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows well." I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What's David saying? As I look at the complexity of the human body, as I look at the amazing ability of the human body in digestion, the way the body digests its food, as I look at the human body and how it carries blood, as I look at the oxygenation of that blood, as I look at the white blood cells as they fight disease. So David's saying, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, when you come over to page 6, there is a very key statement. It's under slide 28, and it talks about Darwin. And this is a magnificent one. Darwin thought about the human eye and how the eye focused. You know, see, evolution says that things naturally developed as they were needed. But how can you have sight if it is not needed? The thought of the human eye, Darwin stated, and it's here in your notes, Darwin once stated that the thought of the eye, how it could possibly be produced by natural selection or evolution, made him ill. Here's why. The human eye could not have evolved over long periods of time because it's useless unless it's complete. The lens, which focuses on light, would be useless without the retina, which senses light. Vision involves a complete system of organs, all interrelated, all thoroughly designed. That's the way the human body is. That's why David said, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Evolution doesn't fit in at all. When you come to that point in your sermon, spend some time with that. Now, I know it's a little complex, so if you need to read it slowly, go back to it, read it over. The human eye couldn't have evolved over long periods of time because it's useless unless it's complete. As you read that material, God's going to use it. Somebody's going to hear that one statement, and it's going to get them thinking about the whole evolution thing. Now, what are you trying to do? Are you trying in this sermon to knock out evolution? Is that your goal? Not at all. It's not so much you destroy evolution as you introduce people to a loving creator. You want them to understand a loving creator. So once we've passed through the statements on the human body, we come over to page 7 in the sermon. Another key text, Isaiah 40, verse 26. Isaiah 40, verse 26. Very key text. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these things. Who brings their host out by number? He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. No one is missing. We now look from the infinite complexity of the human body to the vast complexity of the universe. And in the sermon, there are a variety of passages now and scientific statements about the stars. Interestingly enough, you know, Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 33, verse 22, that's page 7 on the bottom, he said, the host of heaven cannot be numbered. How many stars can you see with the naked eye? If you look up into the heavens, how many stars can you see just by looking up into the heavens with the naked eye? You know how many it is? A little over 5,000. It's about 5,176, something like that. If you look up, you can see with the naked eye. Now, here's my question. How many can you see if you look with a telescope? Millions and millions and millions. In your sermon, pause to make this point. Before the existence of a telescope, all scientific textbooks said that there are about 5,000 stars. After telescopes, 200 million. But the Bible says the host of heaven cannot be numbered. The Bible was right all the time. It reveals a master creator. It reveals a God that's created heaven and earth. Why do we worship God anyway? Another key text, here it is. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Why is it that we worship God? Why is it that we praise God? Revelation 4, verse 11. Here it is. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and are created. Why do we worship God? We did not evolve. We are not here by chance. We worship him because a loving God formed us and fashioned us and shaped us during this sermon. We want people to fall in love with this loving God. To fall in love with this God that fashioned them and made them and shaped them and created them. fall in love with this God who's the master designer. So we come down in this sermon to the appeal. And you'll discover the appeal here on pages 20 and 21. We've developed the thought through the sermon that a loving God fashioned us and shaped us. Toward the last part of the sermon, we've introduced the concept that sin separates us from this God. So there is a loving Heavenly Father. He is our heavenly parent. He, like any father, wants to bridge the gap of separation. He wants to have fellowship with us and intimacy with us. And so we come to the appeal. And we say, page 20, slide 140, it's God that feels the separation. It's God that feels the pain more deeply than we do, because he loves us more deeply. God longs to restore earth's inhabitants. He longs to bring his children back to his family. He's pleading right now. God says to you and to me, look unto me. All the ends of the earth, Isaiah 45, verse 22, and be you saved, for there is none else. What a God. He's big enough to rule the mighty universe, but he's small enough to live within my heart. Would you like to say, thank you, Lord, for creating me? Thank you for redeeming me. It was not your choice to be born. I want you to think about something this evening. What if you were a sweet potato? How'd you like to be a sweet potato? Out there in the sun getting ready to be baked? How would you like to be a mosquito? Somebody slaps. How would you like to be a lizard? Who chose that you were a human being and not a fish? Who chose that? Who chose that you were a human being and not a chimpanzee? A loving God formed you and fashioned you and shaped you. I'm not a pine tree. I'm not a sweet potato. I'm not a mosquito. I'm a human being, chosen to be human in the mind of an infinite God. And the least I can do is give my life back to him and praise and worship and thank him. He did not create me. I did not create myself. He created me. I did not evolve. He created me. I'm not here by chance. I'm here by design. And I thank him for the gift of life. I didn't predetermine it. He chose me to live. And the least I can do is give my life back to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today that we're human beings with minds that can reason and think and feel. We give our lives to you. And all of our creation, as created beings, we give them back to you. In Christ's name, amen.